The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on
while
my
we
chest,
kind of embargoed. Kevin Durant updates until there actually is one. We can't talk about whether we believe what Boogie Cousins said. But before we do that, let's get to Keith. Keith wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on. It's been a long time since I brought up this individual's name. It's June 20th, the heart of the summer. Carson Wentz is a free agent in the game. Backup quarterback, you know, was once an NFL MVP front runner, didn't win the award, obviously. Carson Wentz is available. Ryan Tannehill is available. Between those two guys, is it over for both of them, or do you think one of them gets signed?
It depends. Is Ryan Tannehill still waiting for the perfect situation so he can come in and start for a playoff team? That's why he didn't sign with the team last year. I'm going to join a team where I think I can help them win. Okay. As far as Carson Wentz is in a stage where he's perfectly fine not being on a team right now.
How is he not on a team?
He's just waiting. He's just waiting.
He was the backup for the Chiefs, wasn't he?
Yeah. He is at a spot where...
You think that just standing next to Pat Mahomes would get you at least a job?
No, that's for assistants standing next to offensive-minded head coaches. I don't know if it works for backup quarterbacks. I don't know if it works for backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Or Eric Bieniemy.
No, it's true. That's very true. It's very true. Now, generally, those backup quarterbacks stay in places. Like Carson Wentz has a name where you think he might have just kept re-signing with the Chiefs. Because I just think about Chase Daniel. Like, sure, he played, I put that in quotes. He was on a couple of rosters, but he was a long-standing backup. For which team was it?
I think
the Chargers?
It was the Saints, right?
Saints, right? Then you wound up with the Chargers at some point. A lot of those guys, I think Carson Wentz, because of what he's done in the past, I thought he might have just said, I'm just going to stick with the Chiefs. I'm tired of like floating around the league year after year. But maybe the Chiefs are like, nah, we'll go with the younger, cheaper option.
What have we always said or is one of the key attributes to being a backup quarterback or backup quarterback, a longtime backup quarterback in the NFL? What's one of the top?
No noise.
And people like you.
Oh,
being a good hang.
Oh, you think he's unlikable, huh? Even now.
I was based off of the Philadelphia locker room. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
He just doesn't fit.
Yeah, people just didn't like him. I don't know.
Off-putting, you might say.
Yeah. And so maybe it might be closer to over for him because, like you said, Ryan Tannehill can actually like maybe start to lower his standards and
find a job.
Yeah, realize like it is weird that I haven't even come close to getting a job while there is a team that was waiting on Aaron Rodgers to sign in June, whose offensive coordinator is my old offensive coordinator, and I was not linked to that once.
At 36 years old, maybe.
The two Giants quarterbacks that they signed. It's crazy that they didn't look at me.
But you think at Ryan Tannehill, he's 36 years old.
I didn't know he was that old.
He's not.
That's actually
pretty
tough.
He'll be 37 in a month and a half or so, or a little over a month. He'll be 37 in July. Even if he does want to play, is he taking a minimum deal someplace?
If he wants to play, he has to.
And maybe he has decided that
he doesn't want to.
At that salary, I don't want to play.
That's fine.
I'd rather be with my kids.
More power to him.
Than hang out wherever I'm going to hang out.
Joe Flacco doesn't care. Joe Flacco's been in the league like 5 years longer than any of us thought he would be.
Joe Flacco loves to be around the guys.
Joe Flacco, what was that, 4 years ago? It was like a surprising, oh, he's still the Jets' backup quarterback or whatever. Like that. Oh, that's surprising.
And in some ways, the front runner for the Browns job?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's been the starting quarterback for three different teams since then.
Now, I was listening, just part of the logistics of my life. I was here getting ready for the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard, and I was listening to the guys.
Unsportsmanlike?
Yeah, I listened to the guys before me. And Chris Canty was vehemently saying that Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are going to start more games than Flacco or whoever else is there. There's another player there.
Kenny Pickett.
So I thought to myself, sure, those college names suggest they'll get an opportunity, but they're both day three picks, right? Gabriel was a day
Gabriel
two pick.
Gabriel was round three.
Round three, so a day two pick.
Yeah.
Shedeur, not so much. Yeah. Fifth rounder. So their draft status doesn't suggest that. They're not. You recognize those names and go, okay, Flacco will get a couple games. That'll go. Maybe they want to play Pickett, whatever, and then they'll get to the young guys. But it's not like the Browns have to play them.
No.
They may be at a point in a season because they're the Browns and they love floating through all the quarterback options that they get to them.
That's my thought, too, is that this team is going to be so bleeped that I think three guys start for the Browns, three different quarterbacks start for the Browns.
Do you think any one of them starts more than four games?
They kind of have to.
Five. If there's four of them. Any one of them starts more than five or more games.
I think whoever they pick first, I guess barring injury, has to play more than five. Or maybe the middle guy. And then
if they pick Flacco to start the year.
He's got a month in him.
I think he's got at least four games in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can he pick and do – but the real question is
– I think they trade Pickett.
You think they get rid of Pickett?
Yeah. Okay. Or maybe they cut Flacco and start Pickett. I don't know. I think they roll with – Flacco, though, and trade Pickett.
You know, this quick conversation has told me I don't want to be Kevin Stefanski.
No, seems bad.
For this particular season, I don't want to be Stefanski at all.
It's so funny that Andrew Berry's like a relatively well-thought-of GM, and he has like at least one absolutely horrendous move on his resume that I think everyone's like, well, that's more of an ownership deal with the Deshaun Watson trade and contract. Or like, that was more... He was having to listen to Jimmy Haslam. And now he has this where it's like, why'd you draft two guys in the third and fifth round and then also trade for Kenny Pickett and sign Joe Flacco? Like, this is a lot of bad options. Like, you just signed yourself up for a lot of bad options. And by drafting Shedeur, it's going to be a spotlight and something that we're talking about on June 20th in Houston, Texas. Where if it was a Gabriel Pickett-Flacco thing, we're not wasting any breath on this.
Maybe Carson Wentz winds up starting games for the Browns. I wouldn't rule it out.
Crazier things have happened.
Certainly. As far as the Boogie Cousins thing, Boogie Cousins, I don't know if I've ever said this, Boogie Cousins is reporting. Really, it's Boogie Cousins is saying. Boogie Cousins is saying that there were multiple fist fights in that Phoenix Suns locker room. He didn't say, I don't see any mention of who was involved.
Yeah.
But multiple fist fights in that Suns locker.
Someone had to have fought Bradley Beal.
Matt Ishbia, get out of here.
Just being like, oh, my God, dude.
I don't even think Bradley Beal's the type. I think he...
No, I think someone got mad at him and threw a punch at him.
Oh, just because.
Okay. Yeah, just being like, get out of here, dude.
He wasn't the aggressor.
No, because I can't see Booker or Durant.
Who's fighting Durant or Booker?
Yeah.
Who's swinging on those
And players? I can't see them fighting each other.
Yeah. So the salacious thing is to think, oh, Devin Booker was in a fight. But what son is swinging on Devin Booker?
Yeah.
I think the only one who could would be Kevin Durant, but I don't think Kevin Durant's doing it. Do you think Grayson Allen is swinging on Devin Booker?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Or no, maybe someone, maybe Yusuf Nurkic was like, all right, I've had enough of this Grayson Allen guy.
Because stars are at a level where everyone knows if I touch this guy, I'm going to lose my job. So you would imagine Devin Booker will be Teflon unless it's another guy at his level. Who's getting after Booker or Durant on that roster?
It's also like neither of these guys, I would say, are like the personality that you would want to fight.
Like if you tell me that Booker and Durant had a Javaris Crittenden, Gilbert Arenas story, it would be the most unbelievable story in sports history.
My favorite thing is after every time Gilbert Arenas says or does anything in his post-playing career, there's always one person, he leaves the comment, you know what, I can see why a teammate pulled a gun on this guy. The more we learn about Gilbert Arenas, I can see why someone said enough is enough. But Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they're not like the Jordan Poole, I want to punch this guy type. They're not the Kevin Garnett, I want to punch this guy type. They're just like a very mellow team that seem like kind of content with winning 39 games or however many they won last year. It's actually shocking. I don't believe it.
I think the fact
that they seem like more just like, well, I guess we just suck, not like a team mad about sucking.
I think my top contender for throwing a punch is Bol Bol.
Yeah.
I think
Nurkic deserves a – he's on the Mets.
Oh, he's on there too. Yeah. But I've watched Bol Bol play enough in his reaction. He was playing Wimby. I think he got called for a foul, and he was like, All right, I get it, you D-Riders, to the referees.
Yeah.
Because he
should be Wembanyama.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the freakishly tall player who had the skill set to excel and be the unicorn. Instead, it's Wembanyama. So he just said, all right, I get it. I know what's going on here. So I see him as a possibility, but maybe Boogie Cousins won't ever expound, so we won't know. Okay. We got one more segment with Sean because Sean's going to be heading out at 11:30. He's going to be joining Joe George at the aquarium. You can see them out there. They'll be followed by the Killer Bees. So it'll be Sean for one more segment and then AJ, who has filled in on this show and will fill in as a producer on the next show. He'll be up at 11:30. We'll talk to AJ a little bit as well. All right, if you want to call in, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I started the show with the suggestion that sometimes you're just too tall to do stuff. I just think some things you're out on. You can be too short to ride a ride, but are you too tall to ride a motorcycle? I ask this question because Vlade Divac. Yes. Laker legend and Kings, less than a legend, at least as a personnel guy for the Kings. Probably a Kings legend as well as a player, but as far as a personnel guy, not really. He was in a motorcycle accident, and it was scary. He broke his hip in a motorcycle crash in Montenegro. I don't know that his height had anything to do with it, but we talked about it, at least I brought it up, when I saw the clip of LeBron James dancing at a Kendrick Lamar concert. LeBron James, that is, in a basketball sense, he's sure he's a big guy, but they're bigger, at least taller players.
He's a wing.
Yeah, but LeBron James out and about in the wild or along with other people, that's a big person walking around where generally no one's taller than 6'2", if that.
Yeah.
So he's a 6'9", actually. I kept calling him 6'8" when I said it, but I looked it up after the show. 6'9" guy dancing to Kendrick Lamar. It's a little out of place. And for some people, maybe disconcerting. You're a big guy. That's weird. But is 7'1" too tall to ride a motorcycle?
I think
too tall to drive a NASCAR. It's too tall to drive an Indy car. Is it too tall to ride a motorcycle?
Tall to drive a Kia Sorento.
That's true.
I think that it is too high or too tall to ride a motorcycle. I think definitely being 7'1" and also 57 years old,
that doesn't help.
That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
You could talk to me about how, I don't know, a random insert 7-footer here, Miles Turner, that Miles Turner could get on a motorcycle. I'd be like, that's probably not great, but not the end of the world to me.
The custom job that has to be done for you to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's a Harley.
But to be Vlade Divac and do it. Are we doing a little bit of bulk shaming?
I'm not talking about his weight.
Okay.
Just the that's tall. 7'1" to ride a motorcycle?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you've seen the pictures of Wimby playing soccer.
Yes.
And that Wimby's too tall to play soccer. Like, even recreationally. I think is he too tall to, I won't say cosplay, to be a Shaolin monk for a week? I don't know if it's actually Shaolin monk, but to be a monk for a week? To cosplay as a monk for a week?
I think when you're looking for spiritual enlightenment, you can be as tall or short as you want.
Okay.
Other players. Okay, Shaq,
so you're not saying he's cosplaying. That's just me?
That's you saying that. I just think that's a man who wants to get away from the world because in his regular life, there's a lot of attention placed on him. And sure, there are people taking photos, but the monks probably care that he's as tall as he is, but they don't care that he plays basketball. I'll say that. If I just go by, go by the impression I get of monks.
I'm just thinking of him doing like a, maybe because I have just in my mind made him a like kung fu monk, but to like throw a kick, you know, throw a roundhouse kick. I think he's too tall.
Didn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar appear in like?
Yeah, he fought Bruce Lee.
Yeah, he was in them, but. He was in those type of movies, but once again, shorter than Wimby. So you think 7'1" is
too
the
tall
right
to
height,
know kung fu,
but
yeah.
7'6" or however, or 7'4", however tall Wimby is too tall.
Yeah.
It's too tall to know kung fu or too tall to practice kung fu against kung other people. What if it was just him, Sean Bradley, RIP, right? Sean Bradley's, has he passed?
I think so.
What if it's, fine.
But I'm not
what if it's him and Bol Bol?
Okay.
And others
will take a person.
And Chet
though.
Holmgren.
Yeah.
What if we just had
a division of long, lanky guys?
7'3" or above.
A height and weight class?
Yeah, 7'3", 215.
I was going to say, you can't be more than 220.
Yeah, 7'3", 215. NBA players who in the offseason get involved in MMA. Who else could be in that league?
Gosh, taller than... Because there's a lot of skinny guys, but there's not a lot of like...
Guys who
are that tall.
Sean Bradley still alive, so he could compete.
What happened though? We thought he died.
I think he might have been ill.
Okay.
I think that might have been the case.
There's someone that.
Oh, I can't put him in. Sorry, I knew he was ill. Now I feel bad. He had an issue where he was paralyzed after a bicycle accident, spinal cord injury. So that's why I was wondering whether he's alive or not. So obviously Sean Bradley not in the mix. Hopefully things are going well for him, or at least better. So. Bol Bol,
what's Chet Holmgren, weight,
and Wimby in our league.
Kilowares 230. He's gonna have to cut weight to make
in college.
To
he
would have
he put on weight as a member of the Heat.
Yeah.
In college, he would have been able to be in the league. He's got to cut 10 pounds. He can lose 10 pounds.
It's not impossible.
Yeah. So we got four at least right now.
Yeah. So we have a tournament.
Yeah. I don't know what league we would call the league though.
Tall Kung Fu League?
No.
TKFU?
Well, what will we find? What if they're just part of UFC, but a separate, just a different division? We'd have to call the division something. We got heavyweights. We got in boxing lightweights. You got all that type. We got to find something for these
twig
guys.
Weight.
Stick men?
Yeah.
The stick men division?
Slenderman division.
Yeah, Slenderman division. Didn't Wimby like... cosplay as a Slender Man or something?
For Halloween.
Yeah, Slender Man division. That's what we do. We call it that.
The Slender Man division.
Now we got to take bets on who would win.
I think Bol Bol because he would take it personally if he's matched up against Chet or against Wimby.
I think
Chet would also take it personally.
I think Bol Bol would be very offended.
I think Bol Bol. I think Bol Bol because Chet, I've seen him play one hit, he's crumpling against anybody. Against Andrew Nimhart, he falls down.
Sure.
And not because he's selling a call. He actually
he just
falls down.
Down, yeah.
So, yeah, give me Bol Bol.
I think I agree. I think Bol Bol is the favorite. Khalil Ware has some – they have concerns about his motor and whether he's always going to show up. So maybe we put him as our fourth.
I think Wimby would be the one seed out of, like – name recognition, respect.
Sure.
He's like the Kentucky or Duke of this.
Sure.
But I think Smart – and he gets matched up against Ware. I think Chet and Bol Bol is the 2-3.
I think Chet and Bol Bol is the matchup.
And Bol Bol is the smart money.
Yeah, I know this will never happen, but if we could bring back Celebrity Deathmatch and just have it happen in claymation form, I love it. We're never going to get our Slenderman division. But celebrity deathmatch would be perfect.
Yeah, Bobo wins. He's holding up the belt, the very small belt because yes. He has a 28 sized waist, and he's holding it up. And then, by God, what's that? That's Reed Richards' music, and it's Pedro Pascal stretched out.
Yeah, in our celebrity deathmatch fantasy.
Yes. Mr. Fantastic.
How that would go is whoever the winner was in the tag team match, someone else would come out of the blue and take it. Wait a minute, you're actually like only 6'3". Not when I do this. Yeah, that's how it would play out. And because, well, if we're doing it this summer, Fantastic Four is coming out soon. That's
integrated marketing.
Yeah, we're marketing all these things.
You're welcome,
together.
Disney.
The NBA and Disney get together for another venture. There it is. They're already doing it with the NBA Finals. All right, Eric, I see you. You talk to Sean, but the guy who brings you on will be someone else because Sean has to go. Sean is going to co-host with Joe George out at the aquarium as we continue our summer circuit tour. So we say goodbye to Sean. We welcome in AJ when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's a place you go to when you need to swap yourself out for an actual accomplished plumber. Guys, don't do things you don't know how to do. You're going to cause yourself problems. You can turn a small job into a major one just because you decide to go grab a wrench. Don't do it. Go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company and check out their handy drop-down service menu, and they'll tell you all the things they provide. So you might think fixing a leak is too small of a job. It's not. They'll take care of it for you, and sometimes a small thing can turn into a big thing. So if you're sensing an issue with your water, have them take a look at it. No one likes dirty, smelly water, because you use that water to cook, you use that water to clean your clothes, you use that water to wash your face and other parts of your body. You don't want dirty water. You want clean water that gets the job done. You take that for granted, but be preventative. Have Aqueduct Plumbing Company check some stuff out to make sure you don't ever have a problem. You can get a free price quote as well. So if you do notice a problem, but you don't know what it is, they can take a look and you don't get charged for that. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's the number to contact the great people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And remember the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
We welcome AJ to the show for the final couple segments. He'll produce the show, then he'll take over. When I was going to say Gallant and George, but there is no Gallant. But there's a Joe George. Joe George and Sean Mapes will take you to 3, and then the Killer Bees will follow them. So that's coming up in less than 20 or 30 minutes. Although I was informed that because Sean Mapes isn't sure he can make it. Eric, I see you'll get to you. He isn't sure he can make it to the aquarium by noon. That maybe I need to do a couple extra minutes, as if Joe George can't do 2 minutes or 3 minutes by himself. What are we talking about here? Joe, if you're connected and listening, just do the extra minutes without Sean, okay? Just do them. I've been here since early.
Six.
Yeah, never six. Come on. That's never. But in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll say. Yeah, at some point, although this job isn't really a job, sometimes you're done talking. You just want to go home, take a nap, have something to eat. All right, let's get to Eric. I can't imagine what Eric wants to talk about because normally this is Michael's time, and normally he would call about Toxic Avenger at this time. But with no Michael Carroll, Eric, what do you want to talk about?
How are you doing? Do you think the Astros have dodged the bullet not signing Alex Bregman? And if the Red Sox continue to be in this turmoil, do you think they'll start trading off some of their players? And also, I'm excited to see the new police squad make a Naked Gun movie. It looks pretty good, the trailer. And
That was Eric's impersonation of Willie P. What'd you do, baby? That was what that was. I saw that confused look on your face,
yeah, I was like,
AJ.
What was that?
Your look probably, for anyone who's, is probably a duplicate of anyone listening. Probably everyone's like, what's he talking about? But I understood him because I kind of understand Eric, which is probably a problem for me. What it do, baby? That's Willie P's thing, who called in earlier. As far as the Red Sox, they already traded away Devers. How many other guys can they trade away to infuriate that fan base? From Betts to Devers, I'm not sure who's next. Did the Astros dodge a bullet? When you consider the combination of trading Tucker for Paredes. Now, Wisniewski's not available because he's hurt, and Cam Smith, and you lose Bregman. I won't say dodge a bullet, but they did a good job filling holes. Of course, this team has bigger aspirations than simply winning a bad division, which they're well on their way to doing. Kyle Tucker was bad in the playoffs last year. He has had multiple runs, if you want to call two games last year a run. He's had multiple runs of not being good in the playoffs. The question will be, considering this team's goals every year, is Cam Smith a playoff guy? If he's a playoff guy this year, then while I jokingly talk about who won the trade, if Paredes is productive in the playoffs, continues what he's doing currently in the regular season, and Cam Smith is a viable option in right field in the playoffs where he's not someone you have to take out of the lineup because the moment's too big, you can lean heavily in the Astros' favor if those guys show up in the playoffs. Bregman, you know, you go through his stats. There are years and series where he's good. There are years or series where he's bad. That's probably the case for a lot of players. I won't say they dodged a bullet, so not signing Bregman. That will be determined. But they've done a good job making up for his absence. Thanks to Paredes. What else did he ask about? I don't remember. It's the Willie P impression, the bad one, the awful one. The Astros, and there might have been something else, but I forgot. I usually can only remember two of Eric's things, but I appreciate the call, Eric. Welcome to call in again. Okay, we will move from that to a couple of things that have happened in the NFL. Apparently the NBA. Apparently the magic number is like 101, because that's what Zach Edey hit. Speaking of guys who are too tall, and that is what Shedeur Sanders hit in their driving incidents. Now, Shedeur Sanders has now two speeding tickets. I think they've happened very recently, so he's got two of them on the record, and Edey has the one. I did see someone find a recruiting trip for Shedeur where he was at Georgia. I'm like, okay, this makes sense. They just go back to, okay, you're at Georgia. So even if you don't sign there, you had an interest there, and they had an interest in you at some point, so it makes sense. There's not a lot to dig into with that, at least for me, other than you have to hope he figures it out and don't drive at that high rate of speed when it comes to people being around. I don't know when it was, like as far as time of day, or was it late at night or whatever, but you get popped a couple times in a short amount of time. You'd hope at some point, you kind of hope the first time it happens, you figure it out and go, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not naive enough to believe that's going to happen for guys who have access to great cars, money. It feels like it's part of the game that gets played. With access comes excess sometimes, and you just hope the second time it happens, and now that it's been publicized, he goes, okay, this can't be what I do. Beyond perception of who people will think he is, just for the common good. And if he was driving in a non-populated area at a time of night where not a lot of people on the road, certainly better than the alternative. But if we go into what you want from a young quarterback or just any young player, you don't want a couple off-season incidents before you actually play in a real game. Hell, play in a preseason game. Hell, play with pads on. Practice in pads on. I don't think he's even done that yet. It's just been helmet and shorts, and he's got a couple of those. So, an inauspicious start to his NFL career, but it won't define him. You just hope it becomes something where he figures it out and doesn't do it again. Once again, we had to talk about maybe sometimes you're too tall to do things. I feel like Zach Edey's too tall to drive 101 miles an hour. I don't know what that's about. You're tall, you play basketball, maybe volleyball, depending on your athletic ability and what you love. I don't want to hear about tall people getting into anything traffic related. There's no real rhyme or reason to my thinking. I just, the thought of Zach Edey probably driving a truck. I don't know what he thinks fits him. I just assume he's driving a big truck, yeah, going 101. Nah. Cause imagine him stepping out of the truck. All right, sir, we're going to need you to step out of the vehicle because you were driving 101 in a 65, whatever the speed limit was, and that's enough for us to at least have a conversation with you. Even if we're not going to take you to jail, let's just step out of the car. And you imagine him peeling himself out of the car and going, you're the guy that Draymond said Taylor Jenkins shouldn't allow to be soft. If that clip was circulating again over the last couple of days when Edie got popped. He's too tall to be driving that fast. Mostly because he's gifted enough to be that tall to play basketball. You're winning in life. Let's not add any complications. And I started looking up tall people who rode motorcycles. I think Shaq's among them. Shaq had a bike. I think I remember that even when it was happening when I was a kid. I remember Shaq when he maybe got his contract, either with the contract with the Magic or the Lakers. There was a story on Inside Stuff for people who don't know. That was a show on NBC back when NBC had the NBA contract. It was Summer Sanders and Ahmad Rashad. I remember they just did features on NBA players. It was a weekly show on Saturdays. And I think on one of those, I saw Shaq on a motorcycle. Back then, I was less concerned. Now, there should be height restrictions.
Yeah, seeing 7-footer on a motorcycle is pretty odd.
Like, maybe you heard the conversation, but you weren't here for it when I talked about it initially. Like, LeBron is 6'9". Yeah. And LeBron was on video at a Kendrick Lamar concert. But he was in a private section, so he can just do whatever he wants. He wasn't among the crowd. Could you imagine LeBron in general admission just dancing? Like, first of all, you're blocking my view.
That's all I was about to say.
Get out of my way. Like, I was trying to figure out how it would happen here if I went to a show. Like, if Shingun and Jabari Smith just wound up at a show I was at.
Right.
I'm going to need you guys in the VIP. Like, another thing I don't need tall people around. Me at a concert.
Yeah.
Just go get in a section where you're not obstructing the view of everyone. I didn't pay for an obstructed view. Generally, when you're in general admission, there's no obstructive views unless there's a 6'8", 6'10" guy standing in front of you. So I hope all things work out for all the guys involved in either traffic accidents like Vlade was in, Vlade Divac, and, of course, Shador. Maybe we'd slow it down just a bit. I mean, I'm sure you can have access to a raceway if you want. That's part of your deal. There are ways to go about it without getting pulled over and having your name in the headlines for the wrong reason. It's not an egregious thing, as I said, but it's early days for him with the Browns and being a professional athlete. I'm sure the Browns, who appeared less than thrilled when they drafted him, at least the war room did, don't need other questions to have to answer. Like, those guys don't even want to answer questions about the backup quarterback now. Just because he's Shador Sanders. Now, hey, your recent draft pick can't avoid getting picked up for speeding tickets. How's that going to play? So, a couple things I just want to get to before we wrap that up. We got one more segment to go here. Me and AJ will take you till noon, and then the Killer Bees will follow Mapes and Joe George out of the aquarium for our summer circuit tour. We'll get one more segment in before we're done. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
So great he's not even here. So great he's doing double duty out with Joe George at the aquarium. Okay. We didn't mention this on this show. I'm sure I know it's been talked about in other spots, but the Texans are bringing in Damon Arnett, formerly of Ohio State, formerly of the Las Vegas Raiders, certainly formerly of the Roughnecks of the UFL. He is a player who fits something the Texans have done over the last couple of offseasons, signing a former first-round pick corner who didn't work out. Now, Damon Arnett didn't work out for different reasons than Chris Henderson from the Jags, and also he also played for the Panthers as well. CJ Henderson, and of course Jeff Okuda, who made the roster. Henderson didn't make it out of training camp. Jeff Okuda made the roster. I guess most notably his biggest accomplishment last year was, did he get worked in a Cowboys game? He was in the slot or something.
Yes, by Turpin.
Yeah, by Turpin. Bad. Hey, I don't even put that on Okuda. You don't put him in a slot against Turpin. That's a bad idea. But that was the most notable thing from his time with the Texans. They're going to try this again. They have, as good as they are in the secondary, there's not a lot of depth at corner. You've got Bullock, and they drafted a guy. You've got, of course, Stingley. But do they have a clear number three? I don't think so. That's going to be figured out in camp. Maybe more, we'll see Jalen Pritchard healthy and playing the nickel. That might be one of their answers for it, but they'll have time to figure that out. So Damon Arnette is a flyer. There's not much more to it other than he was a first-rounder. There's some talent there. There were some off-the-field things that certainly got in his way. And John Gruden's stumping for him. John Gruden, when asked about it, I forgot how it even came up, but John Gruden said that's a change, dude. It's not the same guy he was before, so maybe the Texans see that. And they find a surprise, not that they have a lot of questions, but maybe a surprise addition. I won't say surprise answer, maybe a surprise addition to their secondary. So we'll see how that plays out. It reminds me of what Daryl Morey did, where he brought in Johnny Flynn and Hashim Thabeet, all those 09, I think, washouts from that draft class as first-rounders who did not live up to their potential, and just gave them a shot. And because they were Johnny Flynn and Hashim Thabeet, they didn't do much for the Rockets. But they were low-risk, low-cost, like dart throws. So the Texans are at it with corner. It's a spot where they've done a good job drafting guys. Their street free agent acquisitions have not fared as well, which is kind of what you want. If you hit on one, cool, but not a lot of resources being thrown into it. They've done the research they feel is necessary to know that Arnette won't be an issue, and they think he may be able to help. So there that is. Another thing Texans related, it's probably pretty obvious now that I think about it, but I think Pro Football Focus had it. It was, they do their list. It's list time. It's content creation time before the actual games are back, and it's the summer, so you'll see a list or two. They were making a list of the make or break players for 2025. Tytus Howard is the player from the Texans on that list. They go into him being their highest-graded offensive lineman, or returning. Tunsil was our highest-graded lineman, but highest-graded returning lineman heading into this season. And they like his ability to play guard and tackle. Now, he is not a good guard. He had a PFF rating of 46.3. That's bad. It's not great. They color-code it, too, to let you know what numbers mean what. But he was a much better tackle. Problem for the Texans, and maybe for you, he's not playing tackle this year, at least to start. That job, those jobs belong to Cam Robinson and Blake Fisher. At the moment, Tytus Howard, not only will he be playing guard, he'll be playing a new guard spot. He'll be playing right guard. He was a left guard, I believe, alongside Laremy Tunsil when he did move to guard. Now that will change. So your make-or-break player at least has been bad at the spot he's got to play. The Texans are taking an interesting approach to their offensive line and how to fix it. Some dart throws, the ability, or at least the belief that Cole Popovich will be the answer now that he has Chris Strausser out of his way. It's not going to be something that gets anyone fired. They are stable enough, Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, where if it goes poorly again, they're not going to lose their jobs. But they should really be taking a task. If this approach, where you're signing guys who were bad in their previous spots, you are promoting the guy in the room that was the worst position group on the team after firing. You're promoting that guy after firing the previous head. So you thought he wasn't the right answer at the time to be your O-line coach. He could be an assistant, but now that the previous guy failed, the guy you didn't want hired above him, or at least above him in the pecking order, is now the right guy. It is an approach that if I think about it logically, doesn't make a lot of sense. Bad players, and you're giving the guy the job to fix it who was in the room where it wasn't fixed last time. I mean, if I just go by history, it suggests this is going to go poorly. But Tytus Howard is very confident. He talked about he's ready to take on a leadership role, and he's going to have to. They moved Laremy Tunsil out of here. They got rid of Shaq Mason, partly because of performance in Shaq Mason's case, but overall, they wanted to refresh that room. And Tytus Howard, as not only their high, highest rated returning offensive linemen. But as far as guys who have tenure, who have status, he is the one. Cam Robinson got paid as far as NFL tackle salaries, not very much to be a starting tackle. Blake Fisher's a rookie. If it ain't going to be Titus Howard leading the crew, who else will it be? So, once again, logically, getting rid of Laremy Tunsil, who they won't ever come out and say it, but the rumors are, the reporting from people who know people in the building say was a bad influence in ways that aren't like he's a bad guy. It's just the example he said isn't the one the Texans wanted set for their younger players. So a guy who was influenced by a player you wanted out of the room, now he's supposed to be the leader of the group. So I have to assume that Titus Howard wasn't overly influenced by Laremy Tunsil. See how we got to do these logic games to figure out how this is all going to make sense. Sometimes you get it right. Sometimes you're the exception. I just don't like counting on the exception to work out. So that's a couple of Texans things to get to. Titus Howard, at least right now, positioned to be the leader of that group, and they're going to need leadership on the field and off. You got several guys who are new and just some young guys who need to reach their potential. So maybe Titus Howard, along with Cole Popovich, can help that crew get where they need to at least be average. All we're looking for is average. I'm not looking at that crew and saying they're going to be good. They can have that expectation. They're well within their rights to have it. I'm just looking for average. Keep your quarterback off his back. Keep him upright. And maybe he can return to his rookie year form, and the offense under Nick Caley won't be hampered by a line. Because if your line's bad, you really got no shot. There are ways to circumvent it by play calling, by getting the ball out quick, but that still makes your offense limited. And the last thing we want, considering the investment they made, particularly at the wide receiver position in the draft and trading for Kirk, is to have a limited offense because you can't keep your quarterback upright. So we'll see how that plays out. My good friend KJ tweeted me, because I mentioned early in the show that Nick Kurtz had hit 2 walk-off home runs in 1 series against the Astros. He's not one of the playoff guys who ruin Astros seasons. He's not a Howie Kendrick. He's not clearly not a Pujols, not a Randy Rosarena. But at least far as regular season is concerned, considering his limited amount of opportunities, he's done a really good job sending Astro fans to sleep unhappy. That was his 3rd walk-off of the week. I did not know that, because why the hell would I be paying attention to the A's when they're not playing the Astros, other than when Denzel Clark is making circus catches, robbing home runs. He had a walk-off the day before game 1 against the Astros this week. So that's 3 walk-offs in a week. He's on a heater. And right now I know the name Nick Kurtz, a name I didn't want to know, but now I know it because of what he's done to the Astros. So hopefully he's at the peak of his level of success against the Astros. If not, we're going to be seeing that guy, at least for the next couple years as an A, being a problem. We're done for the day. I think Joe George can do a show, at least a segment or two, if Sean isn't out there by himself. I don't know. But I think I'm done for the day. The music says I'm done. We'll see if I'm back after the break. Joe George and Sean Mapes up next. They're followed by the Killer Bees. They're out at the aquarium. You can join them and maybe win yourself a bike. You don't win it on site, but you register to win a couple e-bikes, power on e-bikes. And they're at $4,000. That's the value for those bikes. So good prize. Just join them out there, sign up, and you got a chance. Also, don't want to forget, we got a new app. It's currently good to go for the iPhone. We're working on it for the Android, so we'll have that for you as well. So if you had an issue with their previous app, caused you problems, we got a new one for you. You may not even have to re-download it, but if you need to, just go into the App Store for Apple, download it. It's free, and you got a new app to listen to all the shows. We're working on things, people. Always trying to improve, right? If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. AJ, since we're done for the day, what does that mean? I did mention John Gruden. Appreciate that. I'll talk to you on Monday.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.